Don't change that dial. Direct from WGBB, Long Island's oldest radio station, it's time for...
Listen up. Jesus is on the air.
Hi, Tony.
Hi, Dr. Palmer. How are you?
Oh, I'm just ducky. Aren't you?
I'm Ducky, and that's Dr. Palmer, and I'm Dr. Anthony Chiffo, and we're here to tell you, we love Jesus.
We certainly do. And we have Al Barbarino singing
our theme song. And we love Al Barbarino also.
Well, he's okay. I wouldn't go too far. But Al, we're going to let you sing for a couple of more moments, because your words are important.
To show the way, if we take the time to ask him, he will guide us through the day. Let's be thankful for Lord Jesus when we want to find our way.
I wanted to get those last few words in. Let's remember that he loves us and thank him every day. It's so important.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And by the way, Dr. Palmer, this is our 86th show, and I think we ought to give thanks and glory to Jesus for allowing us to do 86 shows. We were young kids when we started this.
You're making me feel so old now.
You are.
Is my hair still turning white?
You don't have much left.
Well, yours is white, so we're... Radio listeners, we have a special treat today. We have Annette and Ed Eckert from Bridge for Peace with us, and Father Peter, who is here from Uganda. And Father, you head up the Charismatic Renewal in your parish, in diocese?
Yes, I'm the chaplain of the Charismatic Renewal in the whole diocese of Kasese in Uganda.
That's wonderful. And for listeners to know, we're sharing a microphone. So we go around and around. And so if the voice fades in and out, just put up with us.
I call it Palmer's Dilemma. It's his setup.
Ed and Annette, we welcome you once more. This is your third time here. And maybe you just take a few minutes and tell people about Bridge for Peace. And then we're going to ask you, well, how did Bridge for Peace get over to Uganda?
Thanks, John.
Thank you, John. It's so great to be here with you again, John. We're really blessed to be on the show one more time and to share a little bit about Bridge for Peace.
It's great to be on the show because the energy of the Holy Spirit is present. So we want to thank God for this opportunity. And Bridge for Peace, we began in 1988. So,
wow, that's
before
we were born.
So God's been doing a progressive work that's brought us to this point now as we're doing a new work in Uganda, which we hope to be telling you all about today.
And that's so important that we hear what you're doing in Uganda. It's just so unusual, first of all, that a couple from Long Island would find their way to Uganda and do the kinds of things you are doing. And for listeners who aren't aware, Bridge for Peace is really a healing ministry, and it travels to South America, to Australia, to Africa, and other places, I'm sure, that I'm not aware of. And they are from Wading River out in Long Island, and they give workshops on Long Island. So if you ever see their name in the local paper that they're giving a workshop, show up, because I have been personally witnessed healings taking place when they did workshops. And I know that in my office, 80% of the phone calls are about, when is the next healing mass? When is the next healing mass? So tell us about Uganda. We get to give Ed a little bit of chance first, huh?
Well, I have to say the way we ended up meeting Father Peter was that we were in Rome, and annually we do a prayer walk in Rome to pray with the students there, and we now have Bridge for Peace in Rome. There are 15 priests that meet together as Bridge for Peace in Rome from our frequent visits to Rome. We've been there for the past, I think it's about 16 years that we've been going. And we've really been blessed with that. We have a lot of connections through that. And Father Peter was one of the priests that we met in Rome. And it was in 2004 that we met. And he was studying there. And in 2005, he invited us to come to Uganda, which was quite an experience to be invited to Uganda. We were really blessed that he would like us to come to his diocese and minister there. So we were really blessed to be able to do that. So it doesn't happen right away. So we were there in 2006, and there was a conference arranged, and there was Father Peter tells us there were 20,000 people that attended the conference.
Wow. Maybe Father could tell us a little bit about that. Father?
Thank you very much, John. That's a blessing that to have Bridge for Peace in Uganda. I met them in Rome 2006. And when people came for these healing ministries, actually we invited many people to come. And apart from the Charismatic Renewal members, also others came. There were more than 20,000. And I saw with my own eyes. Yes, wow. More than 20,000. Actually, there were around 30,000 people. They came and a lot of healings took place. I saw myself physical healings. Those who were blind, they got healed. Those who were deaf, they got healed. Because Mom Annette would be preaching and preaching powerfully like a bishop, even more than a bishop. Preaching, really. She has the power of the Holy Spirit in preaching. And Daddy Ed with some other members, Kevin and Karen, we are in what we called prayer rooms. So praying for people who were badly off, and all those who came, 90% of the people got healed. So we praise God for the miracles, and people could not imagine lay people, but God was working through them. And we saw the power that God has because they have the Bible. They share the word of God all the time. They don't give glory to themselves, but glory goes to God. And when they do these miracles, they know that it's God who's doing the miracles through them. And they become even more humble. And you, after the healings, you can't even know that it is them who performed these. But they just come more humble and pray and glorify the Lord. We are so grateful to them.
90% healings is an unbelievable percentage.
And 30,000 people. And Father said, those who were blind got their eyesight back, and people heard who could not hear heard. Annette, what was that like for you?
Well, actually, John, is what I expected.
Okay.
Really? Yes, because when we pray for people that are blind, we see them, their sight restored. I mean, we just came back from Brazil, and we prayed for a woman who had a brain tumor going for a surgery. She was blind from the brain tumor, and she had pain. We prayed for her, all her pain went, and her vision came back. This is what we expect, because we serve a mighty God.
Absolutely.
And through the power of his cross, we've been healed.
You know, I just like to mention something. You know, this wonderful ministry that you have, and it really is a wonderful, blessed ministry, didn't start so powerful and didn't start so grandiose. It started, like most things start with Jesus, on a small scale, and a humble scale, as a matter of fact. Can you just briefly tell us a little bit how you got started? It's an amazing story.
He always does that.
I try to jump ahead of your palm.
Well, we started really in 1986. I had what's called heavy, sudden onset rheumatoid arthritis, meaning it comes on overnight. It was very serious in that I was dragging my leg behind me. It was crippling. And the doctor said, it's deteriorating, it's incurable, it's inoperable. And all what they could do is just give you medication that doesn't really deal with the pain. It certainly doesn't deal with the disability. So we went to a healing service, and Ed and I went up and I was prayed over, and I actually dragged my leg out just like I dragged it in. So there was no change that I could see immediately. Of course, whenever a prayer goes in, there's a change. But we don't always see that in our physical body. Sometimes God's, you know, the work is interior and then it works its way out. So in about a week's time, I noticed the only thing I could say that was different is in my spiritual vision, and I didn't have that language at the time, but now I'd say in my spiritual vision, I saw a small flame. And when I saw that small flame in the darkness, I knew there was hope. And I knew that the hope was Jesus Christ. And we just started to pray, seek the Lord, seek in scriptures, and spend time with him. And then eventually I was totally healed off of all my prescription medication.
You know, Annette, I just want to stay focused on that small flame. Because some people may see a small flame. They may feel peace. They may hear a word in a tiny way. Father Grishel has a book out called The Still Small Voice. Mm-hmm. And for so many people in trouble, they have to learn to listen for that still small voice within them. Because that's the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And eventually that voice shouts good news. But it is hope.
Right, John. You know, hope is the thing, you know. And even we see it as we pray for people. Many people in America, most people that come on a healing line are hopeless because they've been told there's no help for you, there's no cure for you, there's no answer for you. So they've been fed a diet of hopelessness, because in Uganda, people will come first to the healing line. They don't go first to the doctor, they come first to the healing line. But in America, we're the last resort. Really, Jesus is the last resort. I mean, it used to be a church on every corner, now it's the drugstore on every corner. So our focus has shifted. So as you're saying, John, where is our hope? What is our hope? Who is our hope? Essentially, who is our hope?
So simple. Our hope is Jesus Christ. He's the great healer. He's the great physician. It's right there.
Father, why would the people in Uganda go to the prayer line first and not to the drugstore?
Yeah, there are many factors why they could go to the prayer line first and not to the drugstore. One of them is faith. Because the faith is new there in Uganda, we're just only around 100 years. So they have trust and confidence in God that is a healer. And two is poverty. Poverty, people don't have money to take them to hospitals to see doctors. So the only hope they see is the healing power of God. If God heals them, his healing is free. You don't need to pay anything. People preach to you. They lay hands on you. When mom and dad, they come there, they don't ask any money from the Christians. Just pray and you get healed and you go back home very happy. Thank you.
That's wonderful. Hey, you know, Ed, you've seen things in Uganda and other places where people have responded to prayer and have been healed. Can you recall some of the things that you've seen?
Certainly, John. There was one lady in particular that I recall in the healing rooms that we prayed for. She was lying on a mat. She had been on a mat for 18 years. She ate her food on a mat. She was toileted on a mat. She couldn't get up and walk. She was totally disabled. And two of our team members prayed with her. And within moments, she was up and walking. And we went up to the platform from the healing room, and she followed us up. She was waving her hands in the air in ecstasy of being healed by the Holy Spirit through the power of Jesus Christ.
You know, you said something very important there. Your team members prayed. So that's not just you and Annette that the Spirit works through for healing. It's all those who have prayed and are with you on the journey.
Right. Our hope is, John, you know, to raise people up in the gift of healing. You know, sometimes people object to being trained in healing. They say healing is a gift, yet people are trained in giving a homily. People are trained in administering the sacraments. People, there's training involved. So sometimes people are intimidated to lay hands on someone. So in our workshops that we gently encourage each other, lay hands on each other, just to get over that intimidated feeling. But the power of the Spirit is a gift through the blood of Jesus. He sent to us the Holy Spirit after his ascension, and it's a gift to us. And everyone on the face of the earth needs healing, one kind of healing or another. There's no one on the face of the earth who hasn't been wounded by something. So it's a gift that God gives, but very few of us, many people disqualify themselves. God does not disqualify them, but they disqualify themselves. So our heart is to raise people up and to empower them by teaching them, what does the scripture say about the gift of healing? And what does Jesus Christ himself teach? What did Jesus do when he walked on the face of the earth? And encourage people just to simply, as Tony used that word, simple, I love that word, to simply follow what the word of God says.
I have a question. And you hit onto it, and it's a question that often bothers me. And you said that people have to be acceptable, accepting the healing. How does that work? I mean, there are a lot of people, our listeners, that are looking for healing. Some get tremendous healing. Some of our listeners, we get wonderful reports. And some aren't getting it, the healing. What can you say about that? How does that work?
Well, if you talk about hope, some people come on the healing line and they really are hopeless. They're really not expecting much to happen. They're looking for a little comfort, maybe, or some encouragement just to carry them through. But their hope is really not in being healed. And they love Jesus, and that's why they come to the church when there's no other place to turn. But for us, like I say, when we see people's eyes healed, I mean, for me, I cry with joy. If the person you're praying for, if they're not crying, I have to just contain myself. But many times when people are healed, they'll start to weep. And I just weep along with them at how beautiful the Lord is. Mm-hmm. But many people, they're not coming expecting anything to really happen. They really don't. They don't expect God to do something. But, you know, Jesus didn't have to die so that I could receive a little comfort. I could receive human comfort. But Jesus died for supernatural things, the supernatural power of his blood, the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit to be released for you and for I so that miracles could be made manifest. He said he's the same as when he walked at the face of the earth. And many times in the gospel, it says all were healed, all. When Jesus prayed, all were healed. Yes. And he's the same today. He's not different, but he wants to operate through you today. You know, Jesus is in us. And when we go out and pray for people, we expect all. In Brazil, the team would come home. We had 12 on the team. 14 with the Brazilians and some more translators. It was a large team. At night, we come home, we sit around the table and talk about what happened. And what the team would say was, all were healed. All were healed. And we would finally say, did you pray for anyone that wasn't healed? And they say, well, I prayed for someone with diabetes. I couldn't see if that was healed or not. Something like that, internal. Uh-huh. But other than that, frozen shoulders, limp people with braces, took the braces off, blind people were seeing, deaf people were hearing, even the mute boy was speaking, all kinds of pains were going, stiffness was going, people were jumping and running. All, as far as you could measure, all were healed. And we were so excited. That was a new level for us.
You know, you also said, when you went to Uganda and you prayed for all those people, you expected, because that's been your history. How did you become so bold as to accept, expect? Who do you think you are?
I'm a follower of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Prince of Peace, the Great I Am. That's who I am.
That's the best answer yet.
But, you know, we've learned, I think, through ministry times, we've learned we have compassion for people and outrage towards the devil. Okay. And we see sickness come on people. God doesn't want people to be sick. God wants people to be healed. He's a loving father. What loving father would want his child to be sick? He's a loving father. So we know that sickness did not come from paradise. Sickness came into the fallen world, and the prince of this world at this time is the devil. So sickness, we go through sickness, we go through things, but it's not God's plan. So we're outraged at what the devil would do to God's people, just like David was outraged at Goliath. We have that same outrage when we see people suffer. We're outraged at the devil. We have compassion for people. And as you say, John, we didn't come out of the egg this way. This came from years of experience and the Lord training us and experientially. But our heart is that everyone should see the things through the testimony, being his witnesses, that the Lord would glorify himself through our testimonies, and people would have hope that they didn't have before, and from the hope have expectancy, and from the expectancy see miracles.
So when you pray, do you say, oh dear, if you would, oh please, would you, oh, or do you say, in the name of Jesus, I command? What do you do?
Yes, we do it just the way Jesus did it. Jesus said, eyes be opened. You know, that's the way Jesus did it. When you study, we've studied all of the healing scriptures, all of the gospels, to see just what did Jesus do? What did Jesus do? Because we want to do it the way the master did it. He laid down the pattern that we would follow it and do what he did. And that's the way he did it. He said, eyes be open, mountain, jump into the sea.
Yep. Father, do you do the same thing? Do you do the same kind of prayer?
Yeah, with the power and knowing that we are following the master, we do a similar thing. But in addition, since Jesus was doing it in his name, then for us we do it in his name. So we say, in the name of Jesus, be open. In the name of Jesus, heal. And if there are devils, because in Africa there are so many possessions of the evil spirits, we say, in the name of Jesus, I bind you and command you to leave. Then the evil spirit goes. Or if somebody has headache, in the name of Jesus, I command that this headache leaves you. The person gets healed in the name of Jesus.
Well, and that's so important, Tony.
I just wanted, should there be a certain demeanor all on the people that you pray over? Do you expect them to maintain a certain demeanor, a heavy faith, heavy praising? What's the demeanor you expect over the people you pray for?
Ed?
Well, it's wonderful to have faith, but not all the people that we pray over has faith to be healed. But if they say that they don't have faith, I tell them to rely on my faith, because I believe in Jesus Christ, I believe in the power of Jesus Christ, and I've seen so many people touched and healed that I'm confident that they will be healed. So we just pray in the name of Jesus, and the miracles happen.
That's wonderful. It really is.
And that's the gift. That's what, did you want to add to that?
Yeah. Just when Tony said, is there a certain demeanor or attitude of the people, I wanted to just share our last ministry in Brazil. We had a lot of trouble. First of all, they had not given us the right amount of time to arrive. They told us 2 hours, so we left 2.5. Actually took us 4.5 hours to get there. So it was beginning with a 4 o'clock mass, and then we were coming in after the mass. We didn't arrive there till 8:30 at night, way late. So we thought everyone would be gone, but there were 500 people when we arrived. They couldn't even all fit into that church. Some of them had come by a boat. People that lived on an island, they had gotten together and rented a boat, and they had come over for this healing service. There were poor people. You know, we go out to areas that nobody wants to go to. They were very poor people. And as we prayed for them, after one of the members of the Bridge for Peace team said, the people were strange when they came for prayer. It's like they were looking around the church. They were looking at the ceiling. They were looking at the floor. When you talk about the demeanor in which someone would come to receive a prayer, and we realized those people had never been at a healing service. So they didn't have a certain way that they felt they should come with folded hands or a bowed head and a reverent attitude. They were simple people, very simple farmers. And so they just came kind of looking around, but they had faith. They had need. The pastor said, these people have been here, some of them since 12 o'clock that afternoon. This was 8:30 at night we arrived. They had needs. He said, there's a lot of sickness, a lot of brokenness in the family, a lot of need, and they're people that love the Lord. So they just came loving Jesus, bringing their need to Jesus. And we just laid our hands on them in the name of Jesus, and there were miracles flowing that night.
And didn't Jesus say... that if you
what
become,
did you say?
And didn't Jesus say, if you become childlike, you will enter the heaven?
Yes.
Because he loves simple, simple, loving people like children.
And I find in our culture, here in the United States, the mind gets in the way.
Yes.
Oh, they start. People start thinking, and they say, "Wait a minute now, what's happening here?" Almost like Peter when he stepped out to walk on the water, he took a few steps. Wait, look at this, and then he said, "Oh my gosh, where am I?" And he started drowning.
He lost his faith.
And that's what happens to a lot of people when they're prayed with. You know, they in our culture, I think they start thinking, and that's the end of the line when you start thinking. But your people don't. They don't think. They just go for it, Father, huh?
Our people have also think, but their thinking comes after. What is basic is to go just like a child, as Tony said, to the loving Father, and knowing that the Father has everything and is going to give them everything that he has. So they go with an open heart, actually a big heart, and open to receive whatever would come from the Father. And the healing comes very easily. That's why I talked of the 90% healing that takes place.
You know, Father, this healing stuff and the power of the Holy Spirit is not new. This has been around in our church for centuries. And Tony has a saint of the day today, Saint
Joan of Arc.
And she was a very shy young lady.
Well, who's doing this?
No, you will. Very shy young lady, right? She never did anything. Never did anything. Here, now you can go.
Thank you, Dr. Palmer. And don't get me nervous, okay?
Don't be nervous.
Don't rush me. Well, Joan of Arc was sort of special, but you know what? She had the faith. She heard voices, just somewhat like you guys did. To start off in a ministry. Unfortunately, her voices got her burnt to the stake at the end, but she became a saint. So she was just an ordinary French girl, about 13, and she was at home with her parents in a local church. And it just so happened she was born in England. And England was being attacked by France constantly. And she, every time the church bells rang, she heard voices telling her that she could save and win the war. Now, she professes that those voices sounded like St. Catherine of Siena, although she never heard St. Catherine of Siena, but she claims that's who they were, from St. Catherine of Siena. St. Michael the Archangel. And she told her parents about it, and they sort of shrugged it off. And she told the priest about it, and they sort of shrugged it off. And every time the church bells rang, she heard those voices. And those voices simply said, "You can save your country because they're losing the war." Now, the King of England had passed away, and the son was going to take over. And she thought, what can I do? How can I help them win this battle? How can I help them win this war? And she was told, go speak to the new king. He hasn't been installed yet. So she went. And she spoke to the king, and she on her way, she asked one of the soldiers if she could borrow their uniform, and she did. And she told the not yet installed king that she thinks she can help them win. And he says, you're a young child. How are you going to help them win? And she said, I think I can. And they had gotten word that they were trying to cross some river. They were being attacked by France, and they were trying to cross. The French were trying to cross the river, and they were getting there. And she said, "I can help." And he says, "How can you help? They're trying to cross the river to attack." She says, "I'll just go pray that the wind changes and they won't get across." And so she did. And the wind did change, and they couldn't get across. And so she disguised herself as a young soldier. She went into battle with her countrymen. And she became very famous, and she won many, many wars. She didn't win the war, but she won many battles. Until one day, very briefly, she was riding on a horse, and an archerman noticed her and saw her and shot an arrow, killed the horse and knocked her down, and she was taken captive. And they knew who she was. And then they wanted to hold her a trial because they heard that she was hearing voices. And they wanted her to admit that those voices were demonic, that they were from the devil, that they weren't from the saints. And she absolutely refused. And so they said that if she doesn't admit that those voices were demonic, they were going to have a trial. But they already knew that if they had that trial, she was going to be convicted. And she knew that herself. And she absolutely refused to denounce those voices. So they held a trial. They found her guilty. And they imposed the death sentence by burning at the stake. They brought her to the town. They set her up on a platform, put all wood around her, lit the match. And when they lit the match, there was someone standing with a crucifix. And as the flames were starting to get bigger and bigger, she just asked that that person with the crucifix would stand in front of her so she could adore the crucifix as she was burning. And as she was burning, the one that convicted her was told by someone, "You are burning a saint here." And so they did. And so she died for her faith. She died for her country. And she died because she wouldn't give in to the evil people that were trying to make those voices sound like they were coming from the devil and they came from the saints. And that's the short story of Saint Joan of Arc.
And you know, you may think it's strange. Why would St. Joan of Arc be on a show when we're talking to people who are involved in healing? And of course, the answer is so evident. She just let God take over and lead her. And look at where, unfortunately, she was burned at a stake. But look what she did. And look at what faith does. And that's what your healing ministry is all about, isn't it? Tell us a little bit about Uganda and what you are doing there.
Before you do that, I just want to point something out. And I've been dying to say this all day.
And Tony, we got to move on. I'm sorry, Palmer, Tony. I'm taking the microphone.
Palmer almost trumped me. You know, there's a different side of Bridge of Peace. It's not only healing. The impressive thing is that they have a humanitarian side. They're healing, but they're looking. Their mission is to help people. Their mission is to help children. And Uganda heard that mission. Ed and Annette, why don't you tell them what Uganda has done for you and your mission and what your mission's all about?
You got the microphone now.
Okay.
I had to wrestle the way forward. You got it.
You know, once I start, it's fine.
Well, we've really been blessed with going to Uganda and meeting so many people there that they're so dear to us and so loving. We're received so well. And several of the things that we're doing right now, since 2006, we've been supporting 14 children with secondary education. And so that they were able to go to school. And these are all orphan children that wouldn't be able to receive an education. We've put through school four adults into through university, an accountant, a lawyer, a businesswoman, and we're just blessed to be able to do that. You know, it was really a great gift for us to be able to do that. And now we're considering, well, it's more than considering, we're working on an orphanage. Oh, I forgot about the nurses. Yes, we have a nurses program. We've put through one nurse already, and we're really blessed to be able to do that, because not only does do we help the individual by going through school, but the nurse will impact so many people in her career.
But these weren't people that were highly educated, were they?
Say it again so they can...
These weren't people that were highly educated. These were Ugandans that you brought through to nursing school out of nowhere. They were poor, weren't they? And you gave them the opportunity to get an education and to help other people.
And I want to add, when you say we support, that's not coming out of your pocket. It's from people who contribute and support your ministry. And you have a need for that kind of financial support. Prayerful, yes, but financial. How can people help your ministry directly?
Well, through our website, where we have an opportunity to contribute to Bridge for Peace and help us with the education of the children, which is a wonderful thing. And, or they can mail into us at Bridge for Peace at the P.O. Box 789, Wading River, New York. And it's Bridge for Peace at P.O. Box 789, Wading River, New York, 11792. Or visit our website at www.bridgeforpeace.org.
I think that's important. Prayer is important, but so is money. And you need the help to support the ministry. You have that, Father, don't you, in your country? You're poor over there in so many respects, and people support you, do they not?
Yeah, actually, we are very poor, and all began with God's message that when I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. When I was naked, you gave me something to put on a cloth. And when I was hopeless, you gave me hope. And so Bridge for Peace, actually, when I invited them in 2006 and they came, they got a lot of requests, very many letters. People were just grabbing them to give them, pay for me, help my family, I'm hungry. So many needs, so others who could even stop them. But when we had a meeting, I said, please, if it is possible, as you have seen the needs, some 14 people could be helped, two from each parish. By that time, we had 7 parishes. And God was so kind, they are so good, and they said, we shall do. So we thank on this note those who are helping the ministry and supporting Bridge for Peace ministry. And now the orphanage also is coming up. Thank you.
And recently, I interviewed Father Nicholas from Nigeria. And I asked him, what is the difference between Mass in Nigeria and Mass here in our country? And I think it gets at the core of the healing. He said, in this country, you say Mass. In my country, we celebrate Mass. And it's not something that happens in 45 minutes. It may take 2.5 hours. And your sermon is not limited to 10 minutes. It can go as long as the Spirit leads you. And I love that because it's what you do then in celebrating, you let the Spirit take over. And that's just dynamite. It's just dynamite. And I know you're working on those projects in Uganda, but, you know, we have listeners and they have needs. And they have calls and sent petitions to us for prayer. And I'd like to use the last 20 minutes of this program opening us up to prayer, because there's no other way to do it. Just no other way to do it. Would you just start with a little quiet prayer? Because I'm going to put a song on, and the song is Somebody's Hurting Out There. And we're going to start to get ourselves in the mood and our listeners in the mood for you guys and us to pray for them. So why don't you say a prayer while I get the music going?
Jesus, we thank you that you know everything of all the people in the world. But right now, Lord, we just want to lift up those that are listening. And Father, they might be busy in their kitchen, they might be busy in their shop, they might be busy driving to the next appointment. But right now, Lord, we know that you want to touch them exactly where they are, that you want to meet them right where they are. And Lord, as they've been listening attentively and some even thinking, how can they help to support and making plans to send a check or do something for someone else? Right now, Lord, we just pray that each one would prepare their heart to receive something from you, Lord, because your heart is poured out with love, the healing power of your cross, Lord, your blood that's been shed, that you would be glorified in miraculous healings all over the earth and your name would increase in its fame and renown. So right now, Father, I pray that each one who's listening would just allow you to look into their hearts, Lord, and even to be willing to look at pains that they haven't been willing to look at before, as they've even tried to hide some misery from themselves, to look away, that right now that they would look within the place, see the place that you are looking at now, Lord.
And Michael Crawford, somebody needs a little hope. Isn't that what we're talking about?
And I may not know their name, but I'm praying just the same that you'll use me, Lord, to wipe away a tear. 'Cause somebody's crying not too far from here. Somebody's troubled and confused. Somebody's got nothing left to lose. Not too far from here. Somebody's forgotten how to trust. And somebody's dying for love. Not too far from here. It may be a stranger's face, but I'm praying for your grace to move in me and take away the fear. 'Cause somebody's hurting not too far from here. Help me, Lord, not to turn away. While those around me weep, give me a strength and compassion when somebody finds the road of life too steep. Somebody's troubled and confused. Somebody's got nothing left to lose. Not too far from here. Somebody's forgotten how to trust. And somebody's dying for love. Not too far from here. Now I'm letting down my guard, and I'm opening my heart. Help me speak your love to every needful ear. Someone is waiting not too far from here.
We ask you, listeners, open your heart. Be open to hope. Let God come in during these next few minutes as we put your petition, even though we may not hear it, put your petition before Jesus. And Jesus, we place ourselves in your presence. And with the ascent of the Father, through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in each of us, Lord, help us to get out of the way so that you can speak to our listeners your way and touch their hearts your way. And we have people who have prayed for requests for physical healing, emotional healing, getting jobs. So let's just open your hearts. Anything that you wish to say in prayer, Lord.
Well, we just come before you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for our opportunity to share with the listeners. And we just pray for them now, Lord Jesus, that their bodies be touched in your name, Lord Jesus, and they receive your restoration, that the weak arms be lifted up in your name, Lord Jesus, and they be strengthened, and the weak legs that be too feeble to walk be strengthened in your name, Lord Jesus. And we speak a touch to their hearts now in your name, Lord Jesus, that they be restored in you. And we speak an end to illness now in your name, Lord Jesus. And we do this in your name.
And Jesus, I can feel your presence in this room where we are praying. And I hear you saying inside of me, those of you who have given up hope, I, Jesus the Messiah, through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, come through these radio waves right into your heart and tell you, don't give up hope. I'm here with you. Feel my touch. Know I'm here. Feel my love. Know I'm here. Be lifted up. Be lifted up.
Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are our healer. Thank you that nothing is too difficult for you. Nothing is impossible to you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, for hope restored. Thank you, Father, for healing grace. Thank you for healing love. Thank you, Jesus, as immune systems are being restored now to overcome autoimmune diseases. Thank you, Jesus, and praise you as blood pressure is coming into normal range today, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for those that have struggled with pain. Today, Lord, we release the power of your blood, the miracle-working power of the Holy Spirit to everyone suffering in their bodies from pain. In the name of Jesus, we command the pain to decrease, for the movement to be free, for the weight bearing to be optimal in the name of Jesus Christ, and for range of motion in limbs that have been restricted. We command all this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, for his glory. Praise and glory and honor to you, Lord. We thank you. We thank you and we praise you.
We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your love, for your children who are listening to us. We thank you that you chose them to be your children and to be human beings. We know that some people have lost hope, Lord, in you. We'd like to pray for your children who are hopeless in life. They are not seeing any meaning of life, although they have material things, but some want to commit suicide. Some have other plans which are not godly. Lord, we offer them to you because they belong to you. They are your children. Touch them and healing them. Give them the meaning of life. Some were staying together in families, but like those who are not staying together, they have no love among themselves now. Their love has reduced and decreased more and more. We offer them to you, Lord. Tag them and refill them with a love from above, that they can be renewed and begin to love each other newly. Some, Lord, are not loved by their parents the way they should be loved. They have been abandoned and neglected. We pray for them, Lord. We pray for the parents to show them love. And we pray that, Lord, they can see that their parents love them. We pray for the youth who are not following you, Lord Jesus. They want to follow you, but they have so many factors in the world that are pulling them. We want, Lord, that they see the sweetness of your word, the word of you, which is sweeter than anything in the world. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We offer you everybody who wants your touch. Lord, touch them. Fill them with your joy. Fill all the listeners with your peace. We need your peace which comes from above, Lord, that we can then enjoy the world rightfully and enjoy it meaningfully, knowing that you are the master of everything. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, dear Jesus, we give you praise and glory, and we thank you for all that you're doing for us and for all our petitions and for all those on our show that you've healed and you've cured and you found jobs for and you saved people from committing suicide. And we just ask for your mercy and your divine love. And we especially ask that you give mercy and divine love to a fellow worker that fell off a ladder and hit his head on concrete and has been in a coma for a week yesterday. And his family's going through trials and tribulations. And we just ask that you look down upon them and you give them love and mercy and help all those that need help, all those that are sick, all those that are mentally suffering, and all those that are being tormented by the evil one. Thank you, Jesus.
We have a woman that we prayed for who had cancer. And we all in our prayers really had a sense it was not serious, but it turned out to be fourth stage cancer. And maybe if you could offer a prayer special through your ministry for her, that would be helpful.
Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we just lift this dear lady up to you now, Lord Jesus. We speak the power of your blood into her life now, Lord God. And in the name of Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we speak death to the cancer in the body. We cut off the blood supply to the cancer, anything that would provide nutrition to the cancer now, in your name, Lord Jesus. We bind anything that would be detrimental to her now, in your name, Lord Jesus. We speak life and strength and health to her body now, in your name, Lord God, that she be fully restored in every way. And we command death to the cancer now. Life to this dear lady and death to the cancer now in your name, Lord Jesus. That she be fully restored and strengthened to come back to your service. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. We cancel any negative effects of any chemotherapy. We cancel any word of hopelessness spoken over her today in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord God, for long life and strength. Thank you for the purposes that you have for her and for the destiny that she is yet to fulfill. Thank you, Jesus, as we keep our eyes fixed on you. You are the one who never disappoints, Jesus. So we thank you, Lord. We release miracle-working power today, miraculous healing, miraculous restoration, as we've seen time and time again, even people in the hospital with death sentences, not even expected to live through the night. We've seen you touch them, Lord, heal them, and restore them. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we thank you even now, Lord, for this lady's restoration.
Lord Jesus, there is nothing impossible before you. In the Gospels, you say many times that there is nothing impossible. And we believe this. With that faith, we also believe that every knee shall bow, that Jesus Christ, you are the Lord and Master, and your name, Jesus, is above every other name. So the name cursor, therefore, we ask that it bows before you, Lord Jesus, and that cursor which is in that person, your beloved child, your name is above it. We command in your name, Jesus Christ, that it bows before you and lives and goes to the foot of your cross, that then the blood, the whole blood, is filled with your love, and filled with your name, because your name is above every other name. We thank you, Jesus, because in Jerusalem you healed everyone, and everyone who came to you with mercy and pity, you loved and healed. Heal that woman, and everyone with curse and other problems, heal them, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, for your healing and love.
And we know, and we expect, Bridge for Peace, that listeners have been touched by Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit with the ascent of the Father. The Blessed Trinity is going out across these airwaves all over Long Island. And anyone who happens to tune in, you know you've been called here by God.
I would like, Annette, Ned, and Father, if you could say a special prayer, just a quick special prayer for all our listeners and for all our petitions that we have, that people have sent in to us. I think that would mean a lot.
Amen.
Well, we thank you, Lord, for all these dear listeners that are dedicated to the program, that they listen in every week. And we just lift them up to you now, Lord Jesus. And we speak your abundant blessings over them now, in Jesus' name, and that the hand of the Father just touch them and encourage them and strengthen them now, in your name, Lord Jesus.
Glory be to you, Lord God. You're worthy of all praise and honor and glory. For you, Lord, have stretched out the might of your hand to hear the cry of your people, to release them, Lord, from the power of the enemy and to bring them out of darkness into your marvelous light.
We thank you, Lord, for the listeners. And we thank you, listeners, for being God-fearing and listening to God's power. And we know that our Jesus and our God is all-knowing, is all-loving. He knows all that you need. There are so many needs and particular needs that you have in your hearts. But he's looking at each one of you with a heart of love, a heart of mercy, and a heart of kindness. We lift to him all your particular needs, spiritual needs, material needs, physical needs, political needs, social needs, and all other needs, that Jesus, the Master, takes care of them and gives you your heart's desire. We thank you, Jesus, for being merciful to them. We thank you, Jesus, for listening to our prayer. Give them what they need through Christ our Lord.
And now we thoroughly expect all of Long Island is healed. You want to hear the applause? You wait.
Here he is.
Bridge for Peace, Annette, Ed, Father, thank you. Thank you for being with us. We're going to pray for more love and more power and all of Long Island to be filled with healing love. Amen. Bridge for Peace, look them up. They're in Wading River. Amen.
And we've been blessed, absolutely blessed to have you guys. Thank you.
More power.
Don't forget to tell your friends about the healing that you received.
Ed said, don't forget to tell your friends about the healing you received. See you next week, everybody.
Thank you for listening.